This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
BX!
This is a Bronx anthem. Shout out to Fat Joe, man. There's no such thing as a Fat Joe curse. Jealous One, Still Envy, Jose, Terror Squad. Shout out to the Terror Squad, Bleacher Creatures, the whole gang. We back on River Ave. Thursday, 888-808-1019. I was far from River Ave. I was down in Tampa at the Seminole Hard Rock. Shout out to the Seminole Hard Rock. One, I didn't even know there was a casino down there until week 18, Mike Evans gets that 1,000 yards, and they interview Mike Evans from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll talk about the Bucs in a minute, too. I just blanked on something. I just got a text. I was like, that just took me somewhere else. So Mike Evans is talking about where he's going to go after he got the 1,000 yards. And I guess he triggered a bonus. And he's like, oh, I'm going to a casino. I'm like, where the hell is there a casino? And they're like, oh, you're not worried about fans chasing you through the casino? And he's like, nah, they can't get to where I'm going to get. He gets to go to the VIP in a high roller spot. So that piqued my interest. I'm like, okay, there's a casino in Tampa. I was unaware. And I grew up going to Atlantic City from age 16 to 26, like religiously, consistently racing from Monmouth County down to Atlantic City. Who could get there in under an hour? All of us could. But when I found that out, I was like, okay, I want to see that when we go to Tampa. And shout out to my wife, just being smart. She reached out on my behalf to be like, hey, you know, my husband's a radio host. Works with WFAN, the Yankees Radio Network. We see you guys have a partnership with them. You know, we want to see, you know, what your rates are in exchange for social media, blah, 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 blah. And they were with it. They were down. So, hey, I've stayed in multiple hotels. I wanted to stay in the Don Caesar this year. I stayed at Airbnbs down there in Tampa. It's become a yearly thing. So, you know, I go down there, and I remember, like I said last year, not being able to bet from my FanDuel app. I think the Seminole Hard Rock is like one of the only places you can bet. And I also think their app is where, I think you can bet there too. And that's also where Calvin Ridley got tripped up while he was down in Florida or something. He got in trouble gambling on that app. But either way, you can go there and you can sports gamble. They got a kiosk for you to punch in your bets. And there's a bunch of table games and everything. It was cool. It was a cool little experience. And you know, one of the second to last nights, I'm walking through the casino, and I forget. I think it was the night my wife lost. My wife doesn't gamble. I'm losing all the money. She's losing all her belongings. I'm like, this casino is taking us for everything. They're taking me for cash. They're taking you for your stuff. She lost her credit card upstairs at the buffet, and then she lost her bag at the pool where, like, we were going to the lost and found too much. Anyway, I think it was that night we were looking for her bag and going to the lost and found. I'm walking through, and it's not the high rollers table. It's a regular blackjack table. And there's this, like, big back dude at the blackjack table. And there's this lady. I thought she was security at first because she had all black on. And this lady is, like, putting her forearm into his back, almost, like, massaging his back. I'm like, what the hell? And, like, I notice everything. My wife's always like, you got eagle eye. You can spot celebrities, athletes, entertainers. I'm like, I see everybody. And so I see this dude, and I'm like, I know that dude. I'm like, where the hell do I know that dude from? And I'm like, yo, that's Hassan Reddick. And I Google Hassan Reddick, and if you Google Hassan Reddick right now, a picture of Michael Clemens comes up. But anyway, I Google Hassan Reddick. I'm like, that is him. He's a big dude. He had a cap on and he had a beard and he had this girl. So like, all right, I'm not trying to call attention to it. And he's obviously not trying to call attention to himself because he's out on the regular tables, not in the high roller tables. But I'm like, this chick, she was fine too. She's probably like, I don't know, she was fit, probably like 5'5". And I thought she was security because she had this thing around her waist. No, the thing around her waist was like, it's like she was his personal drink girl. And I'm peeping all this. I'm telling my wife, that's definitely Hassan Reddick. She's like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, Hassan Reddick just signed with the Tampa Bay Bucks for millions. He was with the Jets. I'm like, that's definitely Hassan Reddick. So I didn't end up getting to go back and say what's up to him. But I kind of, you know, peeped the second time I walked around. I'm like, that's definitely Hassan Reddick. He had his own drink girl. He was kind of hunched over the table so people couldn't really see him. All you saw was his like arms and his back. I saw his beard and the hat. And the girl is what caught my attention because I'm like, is this security? He's got his own security? I'm like, oh, no. The second time I came around, he's got his own drink girl. That girl is specifically working for him. That's cool. 888-808-1019. As I proceeded to, lose in roulette, blackjack, and any of the slips that I put together for March Madness were failing. I can't hit a parlay. And then in my phone, once I got back home, I kept trying to do the margins where you can choose them to win by, like, 1-5 or 6-10 or win by 11. And I was trying to parlay like that just to get a little more juice. Nah, popped. I'm done. I'm limping to payday. Back to the phones we go, talking about March Madness, St. John's, brackets, all that good stuff. Anthony is in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, man? First time caller, first time listener as well. But yeah, dude, I'm a little hurt about the Johnnies, what I'm hearing on the radio. I feel for BT. I've been a, you know, fan for 25 years. I've gone to school there and, you know, Big East regular season champs, Big East tournament champs, get out of the first round. There's a lot to be positive about this year, man. And I just feel like, you know, fans don't really understand the struggle that some of the real fans had to go through. And, you know, like, we have to build this team up, man, because they got a bright future ahead of them. And I'm a one bracket guy too, by the way. So I definitely agree with your boy on that one. So, but I just wanted to get my two cents about the Johnnies because they're getting a lot of hate, man, but they had a phenomenal year. Last thing that I will say, you know, I do disagree with you. I think that, you know, Patino, you know, has to keep RJ in there. You know, I think that there was about, like 3 to 4 minutes left and it's a close game. They're down 6 or 7. So I definitely, you know, think that he should have maybe swallowed his pride a little bit. It was a historic year and who knows what, you know, would have happened if, RJ is still out there, man. He's the Big East player of the year. Great show though, man. I'll tune in. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the first time. Listen and call, Anthony, and you being a St. John's guy, I'm sympathizing with you. Like, that's what I'm talking about when people are helicoptering in, where I say, like, you expect them to go from being David to Goliath, right? There's all these people helicoptering in being like, this is a failure. Like, they're supposed to be a blue blood juggernaut and supposed to cruise to the Final Four all of a sudden because they're a two seed. They earn that two seed through the regular season, through the Big East tournament. That doesn't mean that they're going to get into the dance and just run through, right? Like, it's a building block. I think it's a year that will be remembered, and I think it's a year that put them on the map and is going to attract better talent and better players. And when you talk about RJ Lewis, right, in that situation, yeah, maybe he stays in the game, he gets hot, but no. I think you could all kind of look at the game and feel the game, and his coach could as well, and felt like this guy was forcing it. It's not happening. And, you know, he kind of went away from the team and the team ball, and he had a tough day. And, you know, even afterwards, right, you know, they talked about his minutes. And I think Patino said to the guy, stop asking, you know, leading questions. I know what you're trying to get at. He played 30 minutes. He played enough. And in that 30 minutes, he had 0 assists. He had 9 points, 7 rebounds, but he wasn't himself. He had a bad game. And again, these are kids. Patino is going to coach these kids the way he's always coached. And, I mean, you're going to feel some type of way about it because there's something that tells you, you know, they lost by 9. Maybe RJ gets hot and hits some threes. He's the only shooter they had. But, nah, that was a decision made by a coach, knowing his player, knowing his team, and even knowing the moment and hoping that it sparked something different or they got something going. The result is
what the result is. And you know what? These results aren't so shocking. I remember taking calls saying, Keith, they can't shoot the three. They can't shoot from the foul line. Like, these type of things are going to damn them in the tournament. And I'm like, I think their defense will carry. We'll see who they draw. They end up drawing a team that was ready, that had the bodies and the athleticism to beat them. But does that mean it's a terrible season? No. Does that mean it's a failure of a year? No. I think this is a huge year for St. John's. The marketing of the team, attracting better players, attracting more fans, and they build on it from here. And now there's expectation. I just think it's crazy that, one, the expectation went from them being a story of, you know, David versus Goliath. Like, they were nothing. They were a doormat. They were a joke. And they emerged this year. And when they emerged, two things happened. One, people's expectations immediately were like, oh, they got to win the whole thing. They got to win it all. Even like, you know, I remember the first game they won. In the post-game press conference, they're asking Zubi, hey, why aren't you smiling? And he kind of gave them like a, you know, job's not finished. Like, yeah, you know, I'm happy whenever we win, but there's more. Like, they wanted to win the whole thing. But it's like, what do you can't win, right? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If the kid's smiling too much, if BT's drinking after the game, people are like, well, don't you celebrate something that this, you know, program hasn't done in years. Don't you get ahead of yourselves. It's one win. They got to win the whole thing. So, I don't know. And as far as the one bracket goes, I've never been a one bracket guy. One bracket to me is like buying one raffle ticket, one 50-50 ticket. You're not going to win. You think you're getting Willy Wonka's golden ticket that way? You're not. Nick is in Marlboro. Nick, you're on the Fan. What's up, man?
How's it going, Keith? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks.
I wanted to talk about the whole Boo and Juan Soto thing, but first, real quick, the whole making one bracket thing is, people got to get with the times. Everybody's making multiple brackets. I'm in a bracket group with, like, I think 30-something people, and there's close to 70 brackets, so people are making multiple brackets.
I think here at WFAN, I put two brackets in, and I thought I was doing too much with two. I was like, all right, like, I mean, because it's the work. I'm like, nah, you're allowed to. And then I saw Mark Malusis had like five or six. It's like Mark Malusis one, Mark Malusis two, Mark Malusis, like, because it ups your chances to win the pot. The pot is thousands of dollars.
Exactly. And you know, you mentioned how back in the day, you know, people would print brackets out and you'd write it. That was more of the time where people did one bracket just because you had to go through the effort of printing it out, filling it out, and then giving it to someone.
Right.
But now with everything all online, you know, everyone makes multiple brackets. I got Houston in one, I got Florida, and I got Duke.
You can play in ESPN, you can play in CBS, you can play, you know, exactly. You can make it in multiple places.
Exactly. And in regards, you know, I heard Evan and Tiki talking about it earlier today. You know, I heard Juan Soto got all the boos down at Port St. Lucie. My personal opinion is I understand the boos, you know, coming from Yankee fans personally. I'll be in the building that Friday night, the first night of the Subway Series. I'm not going to have the heart to do it. I think my reason is just simply because he was responsible for probably the best sports moment in my life. I was at the Game 5 in Cleveland, and just the amount of joy and happiness that he gave me that night. It's going to be tough for me to stand there and boo him. I'm going to the game with a bunch of Mets fans, a bunch of my buddies, they're all Mets fans. I don't think I'm going to have, you know, the heart to do it, but I do understand why other Yankee fans would. You know, just you know, the fact that he left, went to your crosstown rival. But yeah, that's it.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I mean, if understood, if you've, I mean, I had tears in my eyes. The tears hit when I saw, you know, the Yankees actually like holding up the pennant and Stan getting the MVP and seeing Hal and Cashman. I'm like when it actually hit, like, wow, we're going to a World Series. I was emotional then. But I can't imagine if you went out to Cleveland and watched it with your own eyes. That means that Juan Soto holds a literal special place to you, where you have the ultimate respect for the guy. You're not going to boo him. Not everybody feels that way. Not everybody's going to feel that way. Not when there's 50,000 in the Bronx. It's going to be loud. I mean, these guys boo Judge. If Judge goes 0-4, he gets booed. There are going to be fans that boo him. And yeah, back to, like, you know, when you had to print out a bracket, sure, right? You got to go use ink and printer paper, and you got to sit there, and your wrist is getting tight because you're drawing out, you're writing UConn, Shout out to UConn. They lost too. Shout out to Marquette. They lost too. You're writing out these team names. Then I understand you're only making one. But even me, back then, I used pencil, would erase, and I would have multiple brackets. I'm telling you, I used to be in the teacher's office. Like, you know how the teachers have their own, like, lounge? I used to be in the teacher's lounge, like, Mr. McPherson, what are you doing? Oh, I'm printing out, like, 40 brackets. We have a pool going. Yes. And like, when we used to be in the same teacher's lounge when the game started. Back in the day when there wasn't a phone or a tablet to stream it on, you just ask to go to the bathroom, pop in, put the game on the TV in there. Like, had multiple brackets. I'm telling you, the heart and the mind. Somebody from OT is listening. I used to collect the cash. I always would have Keith McPherson's heart, Keith McPherson's mind. At least two brackets. And now that you can do it on these apps, you should have multiple brackets. You know what I'm doing that's cool? This is the only thing I actually did hit on. Some of my friends from Chicago put together like Super Bowl boxes for March Madness where you can buy a box. 30 bucks, you buy a box. And I think, you know, you get the, you know, different numbers, right? You get a winning number, losing number. I think in the UCLA-Tennessee game, I think I had 7-8. And I forget what the score was, but I like hit on that box. So I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, UCLA lost to Tennessee 67-8. So I had the winning number 7, losing number 8, and I hit on that box. And I have a couple other. I think I have 6-4 and 6-3. And I think every round that you know, progress, the pot gets bigger. So that's another cool way to play in March Madness. That's the only thing that I hit. My parlays are shameful. And you know what else I was playing, man? I was playing the halves because, like, I knew St. John's wasn't winning the first half. They lost so many first halves this year. I knew to bet against them first half. Who else was it? I think I bet Vandy and somebody else first half. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares about the bets that you lost. 888-808-1019. Ryan is in Breezy Point, New York. Ryan, you got it next.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Look, I was there every night in both Jamaica and at MSG, and I went up to Providence over the weekend. Such a gut punch way to end. No second guessing a Hall of Fame coach in the context of the moment with Richmond DQ'd. Just really hard to go down without your big bat down yes. the stretch. And again, I'm not trying to coach the team. I'm just saying without Richmond there, you know, it's like pinch hitting for Alonzo in the ninth, right? Like he might walk into one. That's the only potential mentality.
Chance of winning or figuring
right.
it out.
Yeah. And being there in real time and close, like, He looked sick, man. Like, he didn't look like himself. He didn't give you the plus up outside of his offensive game that he gave you all year, right? Like, when he wasn't scoring, he always went to the glass. He would make things happen in the passing lanes. And you just didn't, side to side, up and down. He just didn't have it. I don't know what it was, right? Like, after watching a guy for 28 games be somebody, he wasn't the same dude. Full faith in Coach Pitino, a wonderful year. The only thing that cautions me about the building block narrative is I just have an appreciation for how hard it is to be here. St. John's hasn't been in that spot, and I've watched them in an empty Madison Square Garden with 1,500 people. Like, it was me and BT right. and my boys, you know? Like, so I don't want to just be dismissive and say, like, hey, what a building block year. Next year is going to be better. Like, there's no guarantee of that. You went 18-2 in the Big East, and when you're in that spot, you'd like to lose at your best, right? Like, if Kadari went 35 and RJ gave you at least a representative performance, you'd feel real good about it, or at least you'd be able to come to terms with it a lot faster. And that just felt like it got robbed from us, you know, either controllables or uncontrollables. And I know that this the New York the New York topic is bereft of context much. That's as much context as I could give you, brother. And I really wish all those guys the best because they gave New York something to root for. And that product is really exciting, right? Like college basketball, the variability, it's not the sanitized NBA product, like night in and night out. These guys play their tails off. And, you know, I hope to see RJ and Zuby back with some additions, including Simeon Wiltshire, who I'd love to see that through with as well. Great ride from the Johnnies, all respect to Coach. But just, you know, that's a great argument, right, Keith? Like a great New York argument.
Sure.
Swinging your best bat in the ninth inning. Like, not second guessing a coach.
No, I 100%, yeah, I 100% agree with you as far as, like, it just being slim chance. Like, you kind of went down
and
knowing that you were going down.
He walked into one in Atlanta. Don't forget that, right? Like, so, you know, the alternatives were not going to give you that last 5 minutes. He saw two free throws go through the basket, and he was subbed out and never came back in the game. And look, he saw ghosts all night. I was very disappointed with his effort, but it's an interesting topic. I don't think anybody's on the wrong side of the argument.
Maybe it motivates him to come back. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Maybe this is just the beginning of the story, and that's what I'm saying with the building blocks, and that's what I'm saying with, you know, maybe some other better players from across the country want to transfer in or whatever. And also, you know, you talking about being there with 1,500 people. Like what I was saying before is this is so rare. That's why it just surprised me to see people hating on him. How can you hate on the little guy that never gets here? And then also talking about, you know, you as a fan, Ryan, like not so sure that they get there next year. Again, that's why I didn't understand the hate for St. John's or the negativity around people hoping that they lose. Like this might be a one-off or this could be the beginning of them being perennial contenders. We don't know. And then that's the thing with like all these professional sports, right? This is a college team. It's different now. The college game has changed. There's not freshmen turning into seniors in 4 years. This is NIL transfer portal. And this is also shorter window with Rick Pitino. What if they never win the Big East again? What if they never get a number two seed again? We don't know. But now you have a lot more people engaged. You have a lot more people paying attention. And I think there's a lot more motion with the fans, with the alumni, with the university, and that's a positive thing. I think it was a good year. It didn't end the right way. It didn't end in a storybook fashion, but ultimately I think it's something that they can build on. 888-808-1019. I got a break. Keith McPherson on the fan. When we come back, I got to talk Jameis Winston. BRB. All right, let's do it. Jameis. Shout out to Jameis. Jameis is hanging with Kay Adams. Just when you think that's Daniel Jones' girl, nope. Jameis got her. Jameis is with Hey K Adams. And I'm excited for Jameis. I'm ecstatic, actually. I like him. I think he's a good player. I grew up also rooting for Florida State, the Noles. Oh. So when you talk about Jameis, make sure you mention that he won a Heisman. He won a national championship. He was the number one pick. So many of y'all want to talk about crab legs and incidents and interceptions. It's just corny, man. I'm like, so many people say the same things. Think for yourself. 888-808-1019. Oh, he stole some crab legs. So when I was younger, I actually got recruited by Florida State. No way was I going to Florida State, but they sent me mail and they invited me to a spring workout. So spring break my junior year, convinced my mom, let's go to Tallahassee. Shout out to good old mom. All right, let's go to Tallahassee. We go to Tallahassee. I get to go and watch spring practice. I remember meeting Xavier Lee and Charlie Sexton, and I actually went into the Winn-Dixie that Jameis Winston stole the crab legs from. And you know what? This was long before Jameis Winston did, but what I remember in that Winn-Dixie, like they had the like area where they had like crab legs and shrimp and lobster and stuff like that on ice, where you could kind of go up, grab your own, put it in a bag. And if you follow Jameis talked about how he had like an agreement with one of the guys in there that he could come in there and get crab legs. Well, he wasn't, He wasn't sneaking. He wasn't going in there trying to steal something. And like, oh, dude, he wasn't going in there like Pink Panther or something. Like they made it seem like he was going in there hijacking the place. Like he was sticking the place up. No, he did it multiple times. But I think Jameis is a young man or was a young man. That's another thing, too. Please update your information. He's a grown man now. What's Jameis now, 31? Like, he's not 20, 21 in college. But I think as a young man, he was so fun-loving and just loved playing sports. Also pitched for Florida State football. I remember seeing the Yankees back then. They did, like, some type of spring game or something where Jameis got to meet Jorge Posada and Jeter. But he was such a fun-loving type of guy, innocent type of guy, unaware and naive type of guy. He didn't think that anybody was watching him. He didn't think that anybody was on some cameras. He didn't think anybody was going to be like, that's Jameis Winston, he's stealing. And he ended up getting in a lot of trouble. The same way that he got in trouble when he stood up on the table in front of a bunch of students and what he said, I can't say, but it got him in trouble. He ended up, I think, getting suspended for it. He said a popular quote. I don't even know how to tap dance around this one. I remember even putting my notes together. There's a video with Harbaugh. Jameis Winston and Harbaugh have an interview. I'm going to play it. where he said the crab legs were given to me, not stolen. I'm going to play it in a minute. But also Harbaugh goes on to ask him if he has a sex addiction. He doesn't have a sex addiction. Maybe his former teammate Deshaun Watson does, Justin Tucker. But, you know, what he said when he jumped on that table and got in trouble, man, it's something that I used to say. It's something that the homies used to say. It's something that was made popular by an old man, and people used to say it on live newscasts. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, 888-808-1019. Somebody is. That phrase that he jumped up and said, a random student could say it. Jameis Winston, the starting quarterback of the football team, Jimbo Fisher's quarterback, you can't do that. And so he made those mistakes, and they followed him. And I just look at him now. He's still fun-loving. He's a God-fearing man. He's a Christian. I love that about him. He is very outward with his belief in his Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants God to deliver him from pick sixes. And he talks about how blessed he is to, you know, be able to play in snow. All of that is coming to New York. And I remind you, Giants fans or Giants haters, beggars cannot be choosers. You don't really get to go out there and pick. You don't get to say, Aaron Rodgers, come on down. Aaron Rodgers gets to tell you, wait. And for 2 years, $8 million, steal of a deal. You know why? The Giants don't have enough quarterbacks that throw touchdowns over the years. He does. So as much as you want to talk about the year he had 30 interceptions, which also all interceptions are not created equal. Some of those are tip balls. Some of those are assists. They need to create a stat, assisted interceptions that knock off a guy's hand or helmet or chest pad or a shoulder pad. Talk about his 30 touchdowns too. Don't just talk about the 30 interceptions. Talk about the 30 touchdowns. The Giants, they don't ever have anybody throwing for 30 touchdowns. 888-808-1019. He might not be the starting quarterback week one, but if he is, don't panic. He's better than what you've had. He's already the best quarterback you've had in here since Eli, right? You guys had another quarterback from Tampa Bay that you were rocking with, Mike Glennon. He's much better than Mike Glennon, and he's box office. He's going to give you quotables. He's going to give you locker room energy and vibes. He's going to have these pregame speeches that make you laugh, but also, you know, you need that in your locker room. After Tommy DeVito was talking about the departure of guys like Sterling Shepard and Saquon Barkley and what they meant in the locker room, people talking about how much money they paid Darius Slayton and they wouldn't pay Saquon because Slayton is a locker room guy. He's been there through all these different iterations of the Giants, and he's kind to the media. He's there for his teammates, so they paid him to keep him there. Speaking of wide receivers, little Jordan Humphrey, he can go. He can go. That's a guy that also solves one of your problems, Giants fans. Kick returns, punt returns. He could take it to the house. You draw up some gadget plays for him, he's wide open. Zach Pascal as well. Little marginal moves like that. I see what the Giants are doing. They're adding some talent, and the next thing they got to do is add a quarterback in the draft. Cam Ward threw today. I watched the whole pro day. He's going to the Tennessee Titans. He was yucking it up with Bill Callahan and the Titans. The Titans, Bill Callahan does not want to go through another year with Will Levis. He'd much rather start fresh with a rookie, his own guy. They're taking Cam Ward at number one. That dream is over. Shedeur Sanders should be drafted at number three overall for the Giants. Prime is out there talking about it. We'll talk more about it. We got a break. Keith McPherson on the Fan, now introducing the conversation around the New York Giants, Jameis Winston, Shedeur Sanders, not Cam Ward. So all those dreams of a quarterback room that had Cam Ward and Aaron Rodgers, I think that's done. Even though they're telling you they're still pursuing Aaron Rodgers, I think that's done. Back to the crib. Back to WFAN, the home of your Giants, Yankees, and Nets. 888-808-1019. Still talking March Madness in St. John's. Peter in Manhattan, you got it. Go for it.
How you doing, Keith? How's your family? Good?
We're great. Had a good break, reset. My wife literally said before I walked out tonight, she's like, wow, I just got to spend the whole week every day with you and Jack. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, just a few comments. It's March Madness. I mean, I've been following the NCAA for a while. This is up to date. This has not been very much madness, Keith. I'm just sharing that with you. Now, with St. John's, I agree with you in many respects. I mean, the three-point, lack of three-point shooting, falling behind early on, free throw shooting, finally cost them. And I think the SEC is just that much better than the Big East. But the one thing I will disagree, Keith, I think you're taking RJ out with 4:56 to go. I mean, the alternative that you have with Pitino is you're bringing in a bunch of scrubs. Now, for the last 4:56, they only scored 4 points. I mean, so that's the only disagreement I have with Pitino's coaching. But other than that, I agree with you. Very successful year, and I think St. John's is back on the map, and we'll see what happens. Keith, thanks for taking my call, and welcome back.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Yeah, it's something we'll all remember. It's something that they'll have to live with. I think Pitino will have to live with. It was a decision that he made. And, you know, that's sports. You make a decision hoping for different results, better results, and they don't go your way. And you got to live with it. You got to live with how the cookie crumbles. That's it. 888-808-1019. Get your popcorn ready. Here comes Popcorn Rob in Babylon.
Hey, man, Keith, first and foremost, you already know, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to say this, man. One thing I do know is that you can't take out your best player, man, at any given time. One, the offense is being ran through this individual, right? So while you taking him out, you're taking away the threat that this team has been trying, you know, your opponent has been trying to adjust to. They adjusted to, and they looking at film of how this guy played. Now, when you take him out, now you subtracting not only a job that they have to defend, but also you're taking out the mobility of your own squad. Like this, like all of a sudden now you notice how once he was taken out, now they have to figure out, okay, well, we practiced basically for the 24 hours or however long, well, they had a week before they faced the opponent. So you looked at film and you've seen how you know, different players, you know, respond and how they play, you know, what they say. And then all of a sudden now, after looking through film and after pretty much getting your game set to that opponent, now you took all of that away. Basketball is not like football where you only get roughly, you know, or with a full game, you might get what? How many possessions? Maybe 7, 8 at a whole. Basketball, you got 24 second shot clocks. You got 48 minutes. Now, right there, you at any given time, that individual can heat up. And all of a sudden, now those baskets are dropping. You got 4 minutes. How many points can you score in 4 minutes? Knowing that the offense is being ran behind, you know, through this individual, and the fact that your team has adjusted to play against the opponents. You can't take guys out like that, man. Thanks for taking my call, Keith.
Thanks for making the call. And I understand everybody's. I don't disagree. But I'm just saying, you're going like this is the coach going with that decision. The guy had a rough game, one of his worst games, and they're willing to live with it. And you could talk about the money they get paid. You could talk about the offense, how they run it. He was having a tough go at it. So they were hoping for different results, right? He said he let his teammates down, right? In that moment, they were hoping that somebody on the team would step up without him on the floor, right? He was kind of playing hero ball. He was trying to go for it on his own and not finding his teammates. So they sat him down, you know, almost like the principle of it, almost like even a Hail Mary, almost like a break glass in case of emergency. Yes, this is our best player, but he ain't got it right now. Let's give him a different look. And, hey, that's how the cookie crumbles. That's it. You can't change it. I know we can, like Popcorn Rob just said, well, what if he heated up? He wasn't heating up the whole 30 minutes. He didn't have it the whole game. He was going to have it in winning time and crunch time. Patino thought differently. And I would lean on Patino knowing his player, knowing his guy, knowing his team, and feeling like that's what he had to do. And, you know, he took a pretty hard stance on it after the game. Like I said, Lewis said, I let my teammates down. I love the guys. We fought through adversity, yada, yada, yada. Patino didn't want to answer questions about why he was on the bench. You know why he was on the bench. He was struggling. Wasn't playing a team game, wasn't getting his teammates involved. It wasn't working. And that's how it'll be remembered until next year. Maybe he comes back next year and they write a different story. That's not really where I'm at with all of it. Where I'm with it is the grand scheme of things, the overall picture. People saying that it was a failure of a season. It was a failure how they lost. And, you know, this, like, I look at it in the grand scheme of things. Nobody had them as a number two seed in the tournament. No one had them ranked as a top 10 team all year, and they got there. They won the Big East tournament. They won the Big East outright. I think it's a positive year. I think it's a building block type of year, and we'll see what they do from here. What if they are perennial contenders every year forward? What if they take a step forward next year? 888-808-1019. When we come back, we got to play Jameis Winston when he was coming into the draft talking with Jim Harbaugh. It cracked me up to hear this conversation. We got to play it for you. And then we'll talk more St. John's, I guess, too, but like more Jameis Giants, and then obviously still talking Juan Soto, Mets, Yankees, getting all of that in tonight. We got 2 hours left. I'll say good morning on the other side. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.